Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. It is, what is it, Wednesday now? Already Wednesday, September 11th, 2019. I know, folks, 9-11, you know, it holds an emotional part of many of our hearts out there. I know for me, when I woke up and looked at that date, I said, wow. You know, I can't believe that, you know, now, what has it been, 18 years, you know, since that incredible, just sad and moving day that shook America, really shook the world. I'm going to share thoughts, as I customarily do here on Current Sports, each and every September 11th, of where I was, because that's one of those moments that you'll never forget where you were. Never forget who you were with, and you'll never forget the emotions that you had when that morning occurred. All right, so it's September 11th, 2019. Also, our WKAR news team, I saw that Kevin Lavery, he attended a local tribute in remembrance of the victims of 9/11. And we also have a few other pieces published on our website and on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, remembering 9/11 victims who had Michigan ties. So, but it is September 11th. And on today's Current Sports, I want to dive into a few things on today's show. I'm going to talk about a new recruit for the Michigan State men's basketball team. There is another development, another troubling development when it comes to this Antonio Brown drama. Wide receiver now of the New England Patriots, formerly of the Oakland Raiders, and formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just going to have brief thoughts on that. This one is a bit of a touchy topic when it comes to this latest development, but I will have a few takeaways from it. And I'm going to also dive into the NFL power rankings after week one. All right? But before we get to all of that, in just a moment, in a matter of minutes, I'm going to, as promised on yesterday's show, I want to pay tribute and remember a man who was one of the most memorable guests that we've ever had here on our airwaves. I mentioned on the show yesterday how, you know, 2 days ago now, after getting home from work, I got a troubling text message from local fight promoter and dear friend of the show, Ron DeLeon, notifying me that amputee MMA fighter, and again, talk about friend of the show, he was also a dear friend of the show, the great Ronald Mann has passed away. He passed away over the weekend, victim of a car accident. And on today's Current Sports, I'm going to throw it back a bit. And I'm going to play for you a snippet of our sit down on Current Sports TV when I invited Ronald on Current Sports TV a few years back to tell his story, which is an inspiring one and one that I know for sure when it comes to me.
I'll be making sure that his story continues to live on and inspires people, because it is truly one of a kind, all right? So we'll do that on today's show as well. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also go to facebook.com/WKAR News, watch and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. I got some recruiting news when it comes to Michigan State men's basketball. Matty Sizoku, he looked at a table with four hats on Tuesday night, and in one quick moment, the native of West Africa, he decided that he would call Michigan State University his next home. How about that? The 6'9", 230-pound forward from Mount Pleasant, Utah, he has announced that he is indeed coming to East Lansing, choosing the Spartans over finalists that included Kansas, Memphis, and BYU. Now, preparing to enter his senior season, Sizoku possesses a 7'4" wingspan. Unreal. And ranks among the top players in the nation. He checks in at number 36 in the 247sports.com composite rankings, while he's rated number 40 in the nation by Rivals.com. So Tom Izzo landing Matty Sizoku from West Africa. More on that recruitment in just a moment. Speaking of Tom Izzo and MSU men's basketball, also, again, Tom Izzo's been a very busy man. He didn't waste any time making sure Michigan State showed how serious it was about sophomore phenom Imani Bates, the longtime Spartan head coach, along with assistant coaches Dwayne Stevens and Mike Garland, made the trip to Ypsilanti Lincoln High School Monday evening to check in with the number one rated 2022 high school basketball prospect in the country on the first day of recruiting. Imani's father, Elgin, he told that news to MLive yesterday. Now, Bates, 6'9", 200-pound small forward, has already received an offer from Michigan State, along with offers from the University of Michigan, Florida State, and DePaul. So, Tom Izzo, again, he's making his claim that, hey, we want you, Imani Bates, and he showed up along with Dwayne Stevens and Mike Garland, brought the staff with him. All right, how about the Detroit Tigers winning in walk-off fashion against the New York Yankees, one of the very few, and I do mean few, bright spots for the Tigers this season. They ended up beating the Yankees 12-11 yesterday. Talk about a high-scoring affair for those that did tune in to that matchup. Pretty entertaining, talking about, you know, 12 runs for the Tigers, 11 for the Yankees. But again, a walk-off win for the Tigers in the bottom of the ninth, coming up clutch. The Tigers are 43-100. All right, the Detroit Pistons might not be done in what has already been a busy offseason for the squad. The Pistons are the favorites to now land veteran wing Joe Johnson, who is 38 years old, was out of the NBA last season. The 6'7" Johnson reportedly worked out for the Pistons yesterday. He was MVP of the Big Three. Shout out to Ice Cube, and hit the game-winning shot in the championship game for the Big Three. So we'll see if the Pistons can land 38-year-old Joe Johnson. And more basketball news. This concerning Team USA in the FIBA World Cup. The United States men's basketball team has now been eliminated from gold, well, excuse me, just from medal contention, period, by France in the FIBA World Cup, failing to capture gold at a major international tournament for the first time since 06, since the 06 World Championships. Evan Fournier, he scored 22 points, and Rudy Gobert added 21 points and 16 boards as France beat Team USA 89-79 in the quarterfinals today, rallying from a 7-point fourth quarter deficit to pull off the upset. So there you have that. Now, again, I bring you that story while also noting that it's not like the creme de la creme was playing for Team USA. A lot of these superstars of the NBA decided to pass on playing in the FIBA World Cup. Still, this is the NBA. This is where the best of the best play. Still is quite shocking that this team has been ousted from medal contention, period, and will not win a gold medal for the first time since 06. All right, in a troubling story here that adds to the troubling chapter that has been the Antonio Brown offseason drama, Antonio Brown has been accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer, according to a lawsuit filed yesterday in the Southern District of Florida. Now, in the lawsuit, a copy of which was reviewed by ESPN, Brown's former trainer, also an ex-Central Michigan University gymnast, I'm assuming that's where Antonio Brown met Brittany Taylor, who accuses the newly signed New England Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions in 2017 and 2018. This is what the Patriots had to say in a statement last night. Quote, "We are aware of the civil lawsuit that was filed earlier today against Antonio Brown, as well as the response by Antonio's representatives. We take these allegations very seriously. Under no circumstances does this organization condone sexual violence or assault. The league has informed us that they will be investigating. We will have no further comment while that investigation takes place." So, again, just the latest in this whole Antonio Brown situation. And Odell Beckham Jr., another prima donna wide receiver in the National Football League, the NFL notified Odell Beckham Jr. that he has been prohibited from wearing a watch while playing in games, but it does not appear the league's warning is resonating with the Cleveland Browns newcomer. Beckham said yesterday he plans on wearing the flashy timepiece worth over $200,000. Again, and said he believes if it was any other player or if the item would have been $20 instead of costing a six-figure fortune, it would have not been an issue. That's according to the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Now, Beckham, he broke a league rule that prohibits players from wearing hard objects. The wide receiver was seen wearing the uber-expensive custom Richard Mille wristwatch as he caught seven passes for 71 yards in that 43-13 loss, balling out for the Cleveland Browns, the Browns losing to the Tennessee Titans. So, again, when it comes to this story, too, you know, I was reading a piece earlier today. The NFL has issued major fines for a lot less than this. I remember Brian Urlacher when he rocked a hat during media day, and they fined that brother like half a mil for that. He wore the wrong hat during media day. And then Colin Kaepernick, you know, who wore headphones, a specific type of headphones that the NFL does not endorse. He wore the wrong headphones before a Sunday football game, and they fined him as well. So this is all about uniformity in the league, and the league is basically saying, look, if we allow Odell Beckham Jr. to wear a hard object and a watch, that opens the door for other players to do the same, and this could spiral out of control. So I get it. It's about uniformity. Odell, just obey the rules. My goodness. Jack,
So this is the one part I don't understand with this story. Why is it players are allowed to wear chains then, but they're not allowed to wear a watch like this?
Because the chain usually isn't exposed above the jersey. If it's tucked in,
yeah,
you know
that's
what
I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay.
When it comes to the watch, sense. I mean, the watch is on your wrist. If somebody hits it or something, I don't know, I guess it could cause bodily harm to another player. So, and that's what Mike from Saginaw, he called in yesterday and talked about the chains the players wear, and that's the point I made, too. With the chain, you can tuck that baby in and go. So, all right. And some sad news from the sporting world, who has a local tie to professional sports here in Michigan. The sports world rocked by the announcement that Fred McLeod, the voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers and a longtime fixture on Detroit sports television, sadly passing away on Monday at the age of 67.
LeBron, the catch, corner, shoot, fires. Score! Oh, take that, Chicago! We're coming back to you, tied to a piece!
Yeah, how about that? That's a little Fred McLeod for you. And, you know, I remember growing up, you guys know I'm a diehard Detroit Pistons fan, and I remember growing up and listening to Fred McLeod do countless Detroit Pistons games. You know, his voice just, you know, it just resonated with everybody who listened to him. And he was just so energetic and lively. I saw many sports broadcasters who had Michigan ties and who knew Fred McLeod personally reaching out and offering their condolences and offering their thoughts and memories. Working with and knowing Fred McLeod. But McLeod's most recent assignments was three of the four Detroit Lions preseason games last month. Crazy, right? His partner for those games in the booth was former Lions All-Pro linebacker Chris Spielman. And passing away again at the age of 67, what I have seen is that it was a reported heart attack. So passing away at the age of 67 due to a heart attack. Fred McLeod gone too soon, way too soon. All right. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to weigh in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can weigh in courtesy of the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream there. And you can also tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. All right, folks, happy hump day to you. It is Wednesday, September 11th. And, you know, this is a day that brings up a lot of different emotions, a lot of different memories due to what occurred 18 years ago in the heart of New York City, the World Trade Centers being attacked by terrorists. You know, I actually got the chance last summer to tour the 9/11 memorial. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, have you ever done that? Have you ever toured the 9/11 memorial in New York City?
I have seen it once when I was about 10 years old, when I was in fifth grade. I didn't get to tour it myself, just saw it from, like, I was in like a building next to it, basically. So I've never gotten to tour it myself, but I have seen it from kind of a distance, I guess.
It's incredible, man. You know, it's first off, I didn't know how extensive it was, but a lot of the building is still up. It's still intact. And, you know, they even have, like, the wall that protected any breach of water still up. The thing is massive. They have windows that, you know, did not get somehow, some way, did not get any any damage on them when the Twin Towers collapsed. They're on display. I mean, so many different things are on display there. And, you know, it just pulls on your heartstrings, you know. And they have the 911 calls that came from the airplane. I mean, it shook me to my core. And that's one of those days, again, that if you were old enough to remember that moment, you know, you'll never forget where you were, who you were with, and what you were thinking watching that occur. And at the time, I happened to be in sixth grade, Miss Hettner's English class. I'll never forget that. Sixth grade at O.W. Best Middle School in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. It was sixth hour, and throughout the day, kids had been getting called out to leave school, picked up by their parents and grandparents and family members, you know, go home. And we didn't know exactly what was going on, but we knew something big was happening. And next thing you know, in sixth hour, you know, we had, you know, 8 hours, if I remember correctly, in middle school back then. So it was close to the end of the day. But lo and behold, my sister and I, we were called out of school, and my grandparents picked us up. And in the car ride, tried their best, I should say, to explain what was going on. And they, you know, they let us know that, you know, America is being attacked. You know, your mom and dad called us to have you guys picked up because they were at work. And when we got to my grandparents' house, that's when we saw the images. But it was just really weird to try and take that in, because I, you know, 13 years old, I, you know, me and my sister, we didn't know much about terrorism and, you know, hate like that. So that's where I was. And you know, it's one of those moments. And, you know, there is a moment where I really got choked up, you know, at the 9/11 memorial, where they have a room that has all of the pictures and names of everybody who passed away. And my gosh, you know, the weight of that. I mean, people were coming in just like me, just tearing up and crying. And a lot of people forget too, there were a lot of kids that ended up passing away as well. But on this day, we remember those victims. We remember the families of those victims as well. And we never forget. We never forget. All right. Now what I want to do is make a tough transition to another somber note. And that is the news that I got now 2 days ago that one of my favorite guests ever, one of my favorite people ever, you know, that I've ever met in my life, Ronald Mann, who was an amputee, who actually he lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, and it was his left leg. Lost his left leg in a motorcycle accident, and he was also a former United States Army emergency room medic, who ended up finding a release and finding, you know, what he deemed to be his calling in the world of mixed martial arts. And he was just 24 when, you know, during some off-duty time while serving, when he had this motorcycle accident that really changed his life. And again, to help cope with the loss, Ronald returned to martial arts for recovery, ultimately starting a new career. And we had Ronald on multiple times. And I think the last time we had Ronald on was, I believe, last year when he was going for, he actually won it. He was out in Japan going for a Taekwondo championship belt. And he won it. And I remember he was in studio and he brought the belt. I took a picture with him. And, you know, just following Ronald on social media, you know, he was just one of those guys that was so spiritually in tune with himself and just, you know, beyond inspiring. And actually, when I put up today's show on our Facebook page, one of our listeners, James, commented below a picture of me and Ronald when we were saying, hey, today's current sports, I'm paying tribute to Ronald Mann, who sadly passed away over the weekend, victim of a car accident. And James, who was also an amputee, he commented below that post and said, wow, I started following him, Al, on Facebook here after your interview. And as a fellow amputee, I wanted to train with him. Sad news for sure. And there has been just an overwhelming response to this news. It just shows you just the kind of impact that Ronald Mann had on the community, on everybody that he met, really. And, you know, Ronald De Leon is the guy that, you know, he let me know who Ronald Mann was and said, Al, you got to have him on your show. And he set us up with an interview. And, you know, we just hit it off, man. We just really hit it off. And Ronald was also the guy, again, who let me know about the sad news over the weekend. So what I want to do right now, I want to roll in what is going to be at times just an eerie interview, because in this piece, Ronald also talks about life and death. And that's the part that really got me when cutting this up for you guys today. But this interview comes from when I had Ronald Mann as my guest in season 2 of Current Sports Television, season 2, episode 13. And we aired this on October 22nd of 2014 in front of a live audience. And it was just such a compelling and really riveting sit down with a man who has so many different layers. So here's a throwback interview with my chat with the late, great Ronald Mann.
You know, I didn't have insurance when I got out of the military. Like, you've got insurance for 90 days. I was 92 days when I got hit, so I was wiped. They put me out of the hospital in 7 days and said, go back to your family. And for the first 30 days, I just lay there in bed, and I didn't know. I was 24. Like, I thought that was the end of my life. Like, that I was in the prime of my life. I thought I was done. My family raised enough money for me to get my first basic prosthetic, and so then I started working and training. 60 days out, I started lifting weights. 90 days out, we started searching for a gym. I was on the Army Taekwondo team, and back then, nobody would take me here. I'd gone to Michigan State's Taekwondo team. They said, no, you can't train, you can't train, you can't train. Went to Julian Laredo's, which is now American Martial Arts and Fitness Academy. That's my home. And they told me, yeah, you can train here, but you're going to do everything we do, or else you can go home. And that was the mentality I needed. I needed that we're not going to treat you like you're less than able. You're not any less than us. You're going to do everything we do. And that's a Jeet Kune Do philosophy. Take what works for you, put the rest away, and make it your own art.
Now, on the way to the hospital, I mean, you told me that you actually flatlined twice, right?
I flatlined twice in the chopper ride. Dougie, we were both combat medics overseas. He saved my life, and much respect and love to him. But I remember dying. I remember flatlining. I remember everything closing in. You can still hear things. It gets darker and darker and darker until finally you can't see anything. You can still hear the nurse screaming at you, and then everything goes silent. So I don't know. She brought me back twice. I don't know what's out there. That's part of Zen Buddhism. I don't really need to know. I know if I'm a good man and I do the right thing and I continue to do this, I'll go to a good spot.
Well, you are certainly in a good spot right now, Ronald. On a more positive note now. I mean, when you went through that whole ordeal, I remember you and I talking and you said that you went through a deep period of depression.
Yeah.
How did you lift yourself out of that, and what gave you hope?
It was the first 30 days was brutal. Like, I mean, there was nobody else out there. I looked online. I couldn't find any other athletes. I couldn't find anybody who was a martial artist. And martial arts has always been my rock. Like, that's always what I clung to. And I remember at 30 days, I had a gun on a table. And I was at my family's house, and I had it cocked. And for something came to my head and said, no, you know, you're not going to go out like this. You're not going to go out like a punk. You're going to go out fighting. And if things go happen down the road where you pass, I mean, we all end up dying. We're all coming to that end. Life is very precious. It's only for this moment right now. I wasn't going to waste that opportunity. So I started getting back up and fighting. I had to have my friends bring weights to me in the gym because I couldn't carry them. Started getting physically stronger. I found a prosthetist who built my leg. Larry Lloyd, he's not with us anymore, but he was the first one that said, I can do anything I want. Mm-hmm. Other processes are like, well, you could walk again or you could bowl. I was like, I want to fight. Well, I don't know about all that. And then eventually I ended up with Jan Stokoza, Stokoza Prosthetics and Okemos, and he has been my Sufu, my teacher, my brother, my guidance. He was on the 1972 Olympic judo team, mm-hmm. and blew his knee out. So we have a very similar past, and he's guided me along my journey as a martial artist and as a fighter. He's cornered me. He's always been there for me. He makes this leg that I walk on, he designed this. No, everybody told me I couldn't have a suction system. My leg was too short. It was too short of an amputation. Mm-hmm. This leg right here, he was the first one to design something like this for fighting, to where it's got the wedge system. Because when I kick, the foot rotates out where this wedge system keeps it locked solid.
Right, right. And that's the leg you use to fight with.
This is the leg that I go in the cage with. This is what I train with every day with. This last fight when you saw me, that's what I fought with. We padded up safely to make it safe for everybody else. Mm-hmm. I'm the first one. This is a sport. I'm not out there to harm anybody unreasonably. We do get harmed, but it's not because of this. It's because of my skill as a martial artist. That's what I do.
Definitely, definitely. And when, you know, when you first got this leg, I mean, when entered the ring, I mean, your first fight is something that my jaw was on the floor when I heard this story. Can you talk about your first fight? Because your opponent really had no idea.
Well, I was banned out of Michigan. For a long time, they wouldn't let me fight in Michigan. So we'd go down to Chicago, we'd go to Fort Wayne, we went out to Iowa. My first kickboxing match, they asked 2 years after I started training, they asked me if I wanted to fight. We went down to Chicago for a kickboxing match, and they told me, no, I don't think so. So we snuck in. Didn't tell anybody that I was an amputee. I wore long pants, weighed in with long pants on. You know, you're supposed to strip, but I was at weight, so I just wore long pants. Mm-hmm. When I was warming them up, I had my teammates around me to get, you know, so nobody could tell. Got my leg in. We fought the first round. First round banged real hard. Second round, near the last 30 seconds of the second round, a couple jabs, threw an axe kick, which comes up and comes straight across his face. He leaned back, but dropped his hands, cranked him, starched him. And complete knockout. And that was my first realization that I'm equal. I'm just as good as... I just knocked that man out cold in combat with no adaptive rules. So I'm jumping around the ring. I'm so excited. I go to the center of the ring, and I take my leg out. I pull it out, raised above my head, and the entire arena just goes silent because they didn't know. Nobody knew. The judges didn't know. The ref didn't know. My opponent didn't know. And then it was just an explosion. People understood. It was like, oh, my God, this guy just did this. He just did this.
Yeah.
And from then on, it's still been a battle. Like, some people will fight me. They want adaptive rules. I don't do any of that. To me, like I said, I'm a fighter. I've overcome my disability. The prosthetics are so good, it's a mental thing. If you want something bad enough in life, we all have our cross to bear. We all have strengths and weaknesses. But if you want something bad enough, you'll get it. Prosthetics let me do that.
And in a way, Ronald, I mean, you and I talked, and you said that it's kind of tough to find fighters who are willing to fight you, because when they hear about your disability, they say, okay, well, I don't know if I want to go in the ring. I mean, how tough is that? And that's, in a way, that's got to be, you take it as disrespect, right?
It is. It's really disrespectful to me. I'm 16-2. You know, I've fought able-bodied guys. I've never injured anybody with my leg. You know, it's a sport. We're not there in rage. It's not a bar fight. We're not there as rage. We train the same. We discipline ourselves the same. Most of us meditate. Follow that same emotional path. Martial arts strengthens the body, creates a human body that's near perfection. You look at Bruce Lee's body, near perfection. But it also is an emotional journey. It brings you to a higher level. It teaches you respect, discipline, humility, things like that. I mean, it makes you a better person inside. It's not just we have to win. You can lose with honor. And that's what's different about the martial arts.
That is so true, Ron. I think that, give it up for that, guys. I think that is a very, very inspirational message. Now, you know, when looking at your journey, something that really stands out, I feel like every time I go on social media, I mean, I'm seeing something new on your Facebook page. Yeah. You actually are embarked on so many motivational speaking endeavors and mentorship endeavors. I mean, why is that so near and dear to your heart, Ronald?
This is part of who I am. It's what I do. This last weekend, I was out in Washington, D.C. for Kicking for Kids Who Can't. And it's a kickathon, and it raises money for children. It originally started raising them for money for children who couldn't afford prosthetics. Think about that. In America, children can't afford prosthetics. It's mind-blowing, dude. Yeah. It's insane. Of course I'll take a punch for a kid, any day. Now they've transferred to ACA, Amputee Coalition of America, and they send these kids who have these prosthetics now to adaptive camps. This is the first time kids can be away from their parents and just be kids. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've got a quad amputee, they have to have round-the-care clock. ACA and Kicking for Kids Who Can't send these children to camps. They do horseback riding, zip line, rock climbing. Like, they're just kids. And, like, I get to see these little monsters grow up year after year, and they're like my ninjas in training. I love them, man. I love them. Gina Goodnow, she brings me out. She's the one that first founded it. She's my crew to the heart. I love that woman.
Right. And you actually had an opportunity to fight in Ryan DeLeon's most recent fighting event and turn it down, of course, to go out there and mentor the kids, right?
July 19th, I fought for him. He's always treated me with a lot of respect. Like, always as a fighter. He's never put adaptive rules on me. He's never even asked me about adaptive rules. He's like, you're a man, you're a fighter, you want to step in a fight, we'll find you a fighter. And we've always found guys that are willing to step up and fight me. Jason Lutton fought me last time. He's out of Detroit, Iraq, Afghanistan veteran, bang, that boy can hit.
Right.
But I ended up taking him down, put him in a head and arm choke, put him out completely. By the time the ref pulled me off of him, he was out. We're good friends. We get up after the match, hug each other. When he comes to Lansing, he trains at my gym. When I go down there, he's my family. He's my crew. Like, that's the kind of respect fighters have for each other.
See, and Ronald, you know, when you're in the ring and something like that happens, when you choke him out, you know, he's laying there, he's put to sleep, basically. Then you get up, and it's all, you know, it's all love.
Right.
From a fighting perspective, I mean, how are those out there watching right now and sitting on the couch, hearing this, how is that possible to get up and embrace one another after something like that?
Say Michigan State plays each other. Like, it's huge animosity. Before going in, like, I'm driven. This is what I want. But when we get done, we're still family. We're still brothers. We train the same. We eat the same. We diet the same. We focus the same. Once we get in there, when I go in, I meditate, and when I walk in, you'll see me. I'm animated now when I walk in, and you know, like, that's it.
You're in that zone.
Game's on now. Now game's on.
Well, you hear that, Michigan and Michigan State fans, okay? Whatever happens, embrace one another. Look, right, guys? Yeah? Right? Kinda? No? They're like, nah, that ain't happening.
After the game, they'll shake hands. Not before the game, I'm not shaking your hand, but after the game, after the match, like, we get right up, we hug each other, we give much respect and love. You're talking about two men, single-bodied men train the same as killers. That may be a hard word to say, but we can do things that most normal people can't, and we're trying to do it to each other. To give that respect to one each other and step in the cage with one another with very limited rules and bang, knees, elbows flying, chokes, locks, you know, to get back up and say, okay, I love you still, you're still my family. Like, that's the true elevation of self. This is a sport of kings.
That's
if
certainly.
I can do this, anybody can go get groceries, they can go to work, anybody wants to play with their kids. I do this because this shows us we can do anything we want.
Certainly admirable, and it's kind of a nice segue into a quote that you live by. The quote that it's self-proclaimed by you, see that which cannot be seen, do that which cannot be done. Talk about that quote.
When I first lost my leg, I thought my life was over. I thought it was done. And then I started thinking about martial arts as my rock. This is always what I've clung to. It's always been there. My family, my crew, my martial arts, my training partners. Everybody sees the fighter. They don't see the doctors. They don't see the physiotherapists. They don't see the guys that build your leg. They don't see your teammates that are bleeding and sweating with you. It takes a whole community to get that one fighter up there for that 1 minute. I have a vision of what I want to do. Now I make it happen. What are those steps that I have to do? Do it. Like, most people are like, oh, I can't do that. It's just so hard. No, you can. You just really have to want it bad.
Ronald Mann, gone too soon. There's so many thoughts that go through my head when listening to that interview. And it was a bit eerie, right? I mean, especially when he's talking about, you know, life and death and how life is just so fragile and all we have is right now. And his message of inspiration to go after what you want and respect one another and how to love one another. What's that old saying? Sometimes the good die young, huh? I'm sure heaven certainly got an angel this past weekend. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some sports. I'll tell you about an interesting background of a new recruit for Tom Izzo of the Michigan State men's basketball team. And we'll also dive into the latest drama concerning Antonio Brown. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Well, this has been a pretty heavy show, hasn't it? You know, we mentioned near the top of the hour how, you know, the local sporting world, you know, how we lost Fred McLeod at the age of 67 due to a heart attack this week. You know, I just played for you a throwback interview of my chat with Ronald Mann on Current Sports TV. Ronald Mann, amputee MMA fighter and motivational speaker, passing away over the weekend. It is also September 11th. Just a, Jack, it's a real, real heavy show, man. So what I want to do right now, I do want to talk some sports, and I want to just touch on the latest recruiting news as it pertains to Michigan State men's basketball. Michigan State, if you haven't heard, landed Matty Sizoku. And, you know, shout out to Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal. I don't know if you guys have read his piece today. Well, actually, it was published last night. And Graham profiles Matty Sizoku and tells of his background. You know, I mentioned in our headliners that he is from West Africa, actually a village in Mali, West Africa. And Graham talks about how, you know, he grew up without running water, did not grow up with any electricity, you know, grew up on, you know, a farm, basically, that didn't have radios or technology. And now he's here in America. He was actually present at the Michigan State football game as they took on Western Michigan University and pummeled Western on Saturday night. And I guess that's what really sold him. Because again, Sizoku, who is a 6'9", 215-pound four-star center who plays out in Utah, he has now committed to play for the Spartans. But isn't that amazing? I mean, can you just imagine growing up in those kind of conditions? It reminds me of when I got the opportunity to, you know, visit the Dominican Republic, and we took a tour during one day of my trip out there. We took a tour of the city itself, you know, because some people just, I don't know why people do this, but some people, when they take these international trips, just spend all of their time on the resort. That's, I mean, it's like, come on, man, experience the city. You know, it's not every day you get a chance to travel internationally, at least not in my case. So when I do, I like to go in the city, mingle with the people, and you know, embrace the culture. So we did this one day, and we took ATVs inside, you know, of different villages out there in the DR, and the living conditions. My goodness, it reminds me of what Graham is talking about in this piece in which he profiles Sizoku. And, you know, just people living in shacks. They don't have running water. There are no toilets. You know, they're happy to get bottled water. You know, it's amazing because, you know, before this tour began, you know, you could purchase bottled water and some snacks to give to the people in the village. And they're running up to us on these ATVs, you know, just saying, please, can I just get some like begging for bottled water and a few crackers. I mean, it just really puts things in perspective. So, you know, this is the American dream, right? You know, Sizoku getting a chance to play under Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball program. And You know, this is like really the epitome of a Tom Izzo recruit. He loves blue collar guys, and it don't get more blue collar than a kid who grows up in these kind of conditions in West Africa, who knows all about hard work. He actually comes from a farming background where you farm by hand and live off the land, and you trade for what you need to live. And this is what the future of Sizoku looked to be. That is before some stars aligned and he got noticed about his basketball talent. And he was actually recruited. You know, I didn't know this in this piece as well. I mean, it's a beautifully written piece by Couch in today's Lansing State Journal, in which, you know, I believe it was Mike Garland. He wasn't even looking at the kid. And he discovered Sizoku on a visit back in April while seeing another player actually at this school out in Utah. And Garland happens to look over and see Sizoku and says, "Hey, you know, tell me more about this kid. You know, he's kind of gone under the radar. You know, I think we may want to recruit him." And then it just goes on from there. So just amazing, absolutely amazing. And it's not like, he chose from four schools that, of course, included Michigan State. But one of the sources in this piece also says that, the kid had 77 Division I schools call interested in his talents. So that's pretty awesome. I love hearing stories like this. I am sure, you know, when he officially dons the green and white, there is going to be a in-depth profile. I can see it now, you know, an ESPN in-depth profile done, or some kind of Big Ten Network in-depth story that talks about, you know, his journey to America and how he ended up at Michigan State. I can already see it right now. But congratulations to this young kid, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does rocking the green and white. All right, from there to this story before we hit the final break, because there have been a few of you saying, "Hey, Al, are you gonna get to Antonio Brown?" Alex actually commented at the top of the hour and says, "Al, here's to hoping for an AB free show? ?" And just like impossible these days, right? I mean, Antonio Brown is the leading topic in just about every sports talk show from here to Pluto right now. It's amazing because every single day it's something new. I'm sitting here, you know, I went home for a moment after work to finish up some stuff, and then I had to come back to finish up some stuff in the office. And as I'm walking down the stairs to my car, you know, this is around like 9:30, phone goes off, get an ESPN alert, and I see that Antonio Brown is in the news again. This time, this is the most troubling out of every headline that we have seen concerning Antonio Brown. And he is being accused of rape. That is the latest headline. Antonio Brown, this story broke yesterday, but he is being accused of sexually assaulting his former trainer. Her name is Brittany Taylor, who is an ex Central Michigan University gymnast, who is accusing the newly signed New England Patriots receiver of sexually assaulting her on three separate occasions that she alleges occurred in 2017 and 2018. Now, again, this is a very serious story that has legal implications. All right. And I'm not going to sit up here because I've seen some really, actually, to be quite honest with you, I've seen some really reckless takes when it comes to this story. I've seen some people out there saying, "Oh, well, isn't this kind of coincidental that, you know, Antonio Brown, who is leading headlines right now, that this story comes out?" Folks, we're talking about sexual assault here. All right. Sexual assault. That is very serious. I don't care about that, because people can sit up there and say that. And that's, I'm sure that kind of conversation is happening at a lot of water coolers right now. But it's sexual assault, and I'm not taking that stance on this show. That's just not how I roll. That is not how we roll here at Current Sports. That is very serious stuff. You got to let this play out. I'm not touching that. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping that Antonio Brown is not found guilty here, because that would be incredibly troubling. And, you know, when it comes to AB, the NFL right now has to seriously think about whether or not they want to take action here and say, all right, maybe this dude should sit for the rest of the season. Again, you know, the NFL has been criticized in the past when it comes to how they have handled situations of domestic violence and sexual assault. They have taken it very, very serious. And there will be an investigation. There will be a legal investigation, and the league will be conducting its own investigation. And I really do believe that the league may have to sit here and say, with everything that's happened and now this, maybe AB not playing this season is best for him and best for us as an organization. I don't know. I would at least think about it. I'll tell you that. In the meantime, it seems as though it's back to just the regularly scheduled program as far as Antonio Brown on the football field goes, which is a bit odd to say because nothing has been regular concerning Antonio Brown in football. But he is wearing a number one jersey, and he is practicing with the New England Patriots today. Now, Antonio Brown's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, he went on ESPN today to defend AB, calling the allegations nothing short of a, quote, money grab. Rosenhaus says that Brown plans to cooperate with the National Football League, the Patriots, and law enforcement during all investigations, and he's advised the wide receiver to, quote, let the truth come out. So Bill Belichick, the head coach, he has already noted that Antonio Brown will practice, and he has practiced with the team today, and he would not comment when it comes to AB playing on Sunday, saying, quote, we are taking it one day at a time. So Bill was also asked if the team knew about the rape allegations before they signed him to that one-year contract worth up to $15 million over the weekend, and he punted on that question. He would not answer that, and he constantly deflected, and he was a bit combative with reporters, you know, especially when he was asked if AB spoke to the team about the situation. Belichick told reporters that he already answered that question, to which a reporter fired back, quote, no, you didn't. Jack, I don't know if you saw this exchange, but it was pretty heated. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Antonio Brown has come out and adamantly denied the allegations, but this is just, again, the latest chapter in this whole really just, I don't even know what the word, I can't even choose the word to describe it. Weird and drama filled and unnerving. I could go on and on and on, I guess. I guess I can't find the words. It's nothing positive, I tell you that. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, I'll give you my list when it comes to the latest rankings after week one of the NFL season. You'll get my power rankings when we come back and put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have, 4 minutes left here in the hour. I don't even know if I can get to my power rankings with just 4 minutes left. I may pocket it because we also have a lot of engagement on our Facebook page today at facebook.com/WKAR News. I thank all of our listeners and viewers who tune in each and every day and watch the Facebook live stream. We get a lot of engagement there on a daily basis. And Alex weighs in and says, suspension by the NFL is guilty before proven innocent. That's not how the system should work. And I totally hear that side of things as well, Alex. You know, You know, I think what really comes to mind in this situation is the whole Ray Rice video. Remember when, you know, they really, it was a slap on the wrist at first, and then the video came out, then they said, okay, we really have to look at this, and, you know, Ray Rice didn't play. So, yeah, you know, you for, when it comes to Antonio Brown, you know, you also have to be fair to him in this situation because, again, he has not been found guilty here. He has just, you know, this has been something that has been filed against him, all right? So, you do want to let it play out, and you want to be fair to him as well. I get that side of things as well. Ben says, if I was the NFL, I would suspend him for this season and let him sort out his problems and get help. Mike says, Al, good job on handling several serious issues with grace and depth. Thank you for that, Mike. This has been a really heavy show. That's the word for it. Just really, really heavy, right? You know, we're playing for you guys the tribute to Ronald Mann to start the show. You know, we mentioned the passing of Fred McLeod during our headliners, and now this Antonio Brown, the rape allegations on Antonio Brown. Just a really, really heavy show. So, yeah, we'll just have to wait and see how this plays out. But in the meantime, Antonio Brown, he will be with the organization. He will be with the team. And we'll see if he does, in fact, play in week two of the NFL season. So a minute left. I guess I can give you my top five. You know, looking at the NFL right now and looking at what occurred after week one, this is how my top five look. These are my top five teams after week one of the NFL season. Number one, I'm going with the New England Patriots. Number two, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number three, how about Nola? The New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees. Man, he was sacked, by the way, only once in that game. Deshaun Watson on the other end, you know, the Saints took on the Texans. He was pressured the most times by any, you know, when it comes to any quarterback in week one of the NFL season. The second most pressured quarterback, can you guess it? Matthew Stafford, ding, ding, ding. Number four, I'm going with the L.A. Rams, 1-0 on the season as well. And number five, the Philadelphia Eagles. I do want to note that I do have my Dallas Cowboys right on the outside of the top five looking in at number six. All right, I'll give you my full list on tomorrow's show. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Have a fantastic Wednesday afternoon and evening. And as always, be easy, people.